Welcome to In Plain Sight, Spiritual Health and Wellness on your Wednesday night broadcast. I'm live if you want to call me. It's going to be the last, after the bottom of the hour break. I'm going to play a lengthy sermon clip. This is a young pastor responding to the tornado in Kentucky in December of 2021. After the clip and the break, we'll talk about the relevance and compare it to recent disasters. All right, let's play that clip, Mike.
If you have your Bible for a few moments, open up to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah and chapter number 46. It was Friday night. This massive tornado came through our land. One of the longest in history, if not the longest. Almost a mile wide. And caused massive, massive destruction. And raised many, many questions for some people. In order to make sense of things in this world, in order to keep yourself from losing your mind, in order to eliminate anxiety, in order to give God the most glory, you must view catastrophic events such as this tornado that just occurred through the lens of the absolute sovereignty of God over all things.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
The things I say out of love. And what we need is we need a view of God.
Amen.
When King Uzziah died, Isaiah walked into the temple when things were really bad. And he saw the Lord high and lifted up. We need to know who God is. And we need the truth. Whether it hurts or whether it helps, we need the truth. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. What God's saying is I'm unique. I'm one of a kind. There's nobody like me. My godness is demonstrated in verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done. So here, God is declaring what the end will be as if he's standing at the beginning. He knows the future, in other words. He declares the end from the beginning, meaning he knows the future.
Yes.
Now, how does he know the future? The next part of the verse. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. The way that God knows the future is because he has given counsel to the future to be what it will be.
Amen.
Right.
The decree of God of what will be is how God knows.
That's right.
He doesn't look ahead and see what's going to happen.
That's right.
He gives counsel. Him and the future talk, and he tells the future counsel what to do.
That's right.
And that's how he knows the end from the beginning. His counsel will stand, and I will accomplish my purpose, he says. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, I will bring it to pass, God says. I have purpose, and I will do it. God didn't simply know the tornado was going to happen. He didn't simply react to the tornado happening. He doesn't simply use the tornado that happened. He intentionally willed and specifically directed the tornado to happen.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Now, that's very different than you're going to see on Twitter and Facebook. Oh, God knew what was going to... No, he willed it. He sent it. He directed it.
Amen.
This is God.
Right.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:11 says he works all things after the counsel of his will. He works all things after his own will. The all things include the fall of sparrows, Matthew 10:29. The rolling of dice. Proverbs 16:33 says the lot is cast in the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. When you reach into the Scrabble game and you throw your dice, the way that it lands is how the Lord directed it to land. Every roll of the dice, this chance circumstance of dice, is directed by God.
That's
included in the all things. The decision of kings is included in this. Proverbs 21:1 says the king's heart is in God's hand and God turns it wherever he wants.
Amen.
God determines the direction that Joe Biden will go or not go.
That's right.
Yeah.
God determines.
That's right.
His heart's in God's hand. The all things that he works includes the decisions of kings and presidents. The suffering of saints he works, 1 Peter 4:19. The completion of travel plans, James 4:15. You go here or there. Rather, you should say, if the Lord wills, we'll go here or there.
Right.
The persecution of Christians is in the things he is intentionally working.
Yes.
Hebrews 12:4-7. The repentance of souls, 2 Timothy 2:25. Repentance has to be given by God.
Yes, right.
The gift of faith, Philippians 1:29. You can't believe. God must give you faith.
Right.
That's part of the all things he's working. He gives faith to some. He gives repentance to some. The giving and taking of life. When you're born, when you're going to die. 1 Samuel 2:6 belongs to the Lord.
That's right.
He determines when you're going to be born. He determines when you're going to die. The crucifixion of Jesus, Acts 4:27-28. And this all things that he works after the counsel of his will includes this tornado.
Right.
Amos 3:6, does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? Did disaster come to Mayfield? Did the Lord do it? Yes. Isaiah 45:7, I form light, I create darkness. I make well-being and I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Do you have room in your theology for this kind of God?
Amen.
Lamentations 3:37-38. Who has spoken and it came to pass unless the Lord commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? That's in the Bible. Job understood this.
Yep.
He went through a calamity, didn't he?
Right.
Job 2:10. Shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil also? He had a view of God that we need to have. But how do we then go from a general sovereignty overall to a specific event, including this tornado? Well, let me make the point that God doesn't allow the weather to happen. He commands it and directs it intentionally. In Jonah 1:4, the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, causing a massive storm. And this was the kind of a hurling of a wind, probably a hurricane, that made the sailors who were used to storms, they were afraid. This was huge, a huge hurricane that he caused to happen. Exodus 14:21, the Lord swept back the sea by a strong east wind. He sent a wind and it split the sea in half, and then drowned Pharaoh and his army in it afterwards. Jonah 4:8, the Lord appointed an east wind. The Lord appointed the east wind to come. 1 Samuel 12:18, the Lord sent thunder and rain. Job 38:25, God clefts a channel for the rain to fall in, and he prepares the landing place for the lightning to strike.
Right.
He prepares the place where he's going to put it.
Yep.
Psalm 147:16, God gives the snow and he scatters frost. In verse 17, he hurls down crystals of ice. 6 feet of snow, 12 feet of snow, that came from God. He did that. And then he sends his word out and melts it all when he's done. Psalm 148:7-8. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the deeps. Listen, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Stormy wind fulfills his word. God ordained, willed, sent, and specifically directed this tornado. Psalm 135:6-7. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain, and he brings forth the wind from his storehouses. He brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Turn with me now to Job. Job 36. Job 36, 26. Behold, God is great, and we know Him not. The number of His years is unsearchable. For He draws up the drops of water, they distill His mist and rain, which the skies pour down and drop on mankind abundantly. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thunderings of His pavilion? Behold, He scatters His lightning about Him and covers the roots of the sea. For by these He judges peoples. He uses the weather to judge. He gives food in abundance. He uses the weather to bless. Verse 32, He covers His hands with the lightning. He commands it to strike the mark. He commands the lightning bolt. Verse 33, its crashing declares His presence. Cattle also declare that He rises. Where was God when the tornado happened? It's asked. Where was it? Where was He? He was in the tornado. The tornado declared His presence. Flip over to Psalm 104. God is in the tornado. The tornado declares His presence. Psalm 104, verse 3. He lays the beams of His chamber on the waters. He makes the clouds His chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes His messengers winds, His ministers a flaming fire. God rides the back of the tornado. He's in the tornado. He's not trying to catch up to it. He's not trying to react to it. He's riding in it, and the winds are His messengers. The winds carry His message. And someone might say, well, that's just terrible. By what standard do you call this terrible? How do you know what's terrible and what's not terrible? How do I know? What standard are you using to say this is terrible? How do we know what's terrible and what's not? We don't know. We're finite. Someone will say, well, you're going to drive people away from God if you talk this way. Better for them to be driven away from the true God than hold on to a false God, thinking it's the true God.
Amen.
Jesus said, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. You're not going to drive away the one that Jesus is drawing to Himself. Plus, Jesus did this in light of great calamity. This was His response, as we're going to hear in the sermon. This is what Jesus did. The question is, why? Why did He direct this tornado? And why did it land where He landed it? Why do bad things happen to good people? You've been in this church long enough. You're going to know that the answer is, there are no good people.
Amen.
I know that's cliche, but you got to think about that. There's Romans 3 says there's none good, not one. There are no good people. Why do bad things happen to good people? There are no good people. The question is, why does anything good happen to any of us ever?
Amen.
Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Hebrews 9:27, after death comes judgment. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. We've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. One sin equals death.
Right.
Death equals judgment in hell. Why are we still breathing? Why are we still here? Anybody sinned? All have sinned. And we survive, we live, we have common grace, and we should be dead in hell right now. Do you think about things like that? We should be suffering punishment from God right now.
Right.
We've sinned against a holy God. Mm-hmm. Sin brings death and judgment in eternal hell. We all should have been killed a long time ago, and we all should be in hell now for our crimes against this God. We are evil, and none of us deserve to live. The question's not, why did God send this tornado? Listen, the real question becomes, why didn't He send it a long time ago?
Yeah.
Why didn't it kill more people when it came? Why didn't it level more houses? Why didn't it come sooner, travel faster, hit harder, or stay longer? Why is it gone right now? This tornado was just a glimpse of God's wrath that we all deserve. Why are we still alive if we deserve death like the Bible says? The norm should be the tornado, not the flip. Why has God been so kind? Why is it gone? Why didn't it last longer? Romans 2:4 says, His kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God sends the tornado to wake you up. Christians need to train themselves to be weaned off the world. To put your treasure where it really matters, on things above where Christ is.
Amen.
The lost need to know that God was kind to send this tornado, this wake-up call.
Amen.
And He's also kind to stop it so that you can look at His kindness and repent and believe the gospel.
Amen.
That's why He does it.
Amen.
While this tornado was just a glimpse of what we all deserve, it was also a glimpse of the wrath that was poured out on one, Jesus, when the earth went dark for 3 hours.
That's right.
He who knew no sin became a curse so that we can be saved.
Amen.
The tornado that happened was a glimpse of what the Father did to the Son so He could save you.
Amen.
Right.
You need to see that.
Yeah.
You need to see God's mercy and His grace, His wake-up call. This should have happened a long time ago and it should have been more widespread, but God's good.
Amen.
Amen.
And as a last word, it's not going to always be this way. In Revelation, He says there's a new heaven and a new earth coming for those who are saved. For the first one and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. John saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. It came down from heaven, from God. It was prepared as a bride ordained and adorned for her husband. And John said, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, no crying, no more pain. For the former things have passed away.
Right.
And He that was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new.
Amen.
That's what's coming one day.
Amen.
We have reason to worship this morning.
Amen.
Lord, thank You for Your Word and thank You for the truth of it. Lord, I pray that the people that are affected the most by this would receive grace and that they would receive help and comfort. But when the time's right, that they would receive the truth so that they can see that You're kind.
Amen.
And that You're meant to lead them to repentance and Your kindness. Lord, help the lost to be saved, the saints to be edified.
You can cut it right here.
Worship You today.
Break.
In Jesus' name.
It's the conclusion of the sermon. We'll go right into the break. I'll analyze on the other side. Phone lines will be open, 512-248-8252. Back on the other side.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Einstein once said, Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing Terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your Terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
We're back to your Wednesday night broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network, Spiritual Health and Wellness. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage. Station's in a bit of a crunch. You've heard a lot of free speech for the many years and maybe decades that you've listened, but especially in the last few weeks, different points of views being put out. So if you want to keep that going, especially to the satellite listeners, call out to the satellite listeners. We appreciate you. Send your check or money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And then you can call it in as well. And the phone lines are open if you want to weigh in on the topic tonight. So I wanted to analyze this sermon. This was a young pastor, and I think I covered some of this after the tornado happened in December of 21 in my hometown of Mayfield, Kentucky. So I wanted to bring it up because that's a big question that's been hit out to me, especially recently. Why is God allowing this? So I want to make sure I differentiate it. I'm comparing the two disasters, and people have made the case that the tornado could have been, you know, caused by manipulation of the weather. I wouldn't count that out. But the point that I'm going to make is the same. Now, in the Maui fires, I do believe, based on the evidence of the photographs I've seen of Maui, the type of destruction, and comparing that to documentaries I've watched on these so-called wildfires in California and Canada, very strong evidence that it could have been some sort of direct energy. That's where I'm at now with it. Paul and William did a great show on Natty Intel laying this out. And this leads to the question, then, why would God allow men to do this? And as the speaker pointed out, this is a God that is all sovereign. He is in control. This is a hard thing for the unbeliever to swallow. It's a hard thing for the born-again believer to swallow. And a lot of these sermons are directed to believers, I will say that. And sort of this ministry I do on Wednesday night is directed primarily at believers, but by all means, unbelievers are welcome to listen and call in and encouraged to get answers from the Bible. So God controls these disasters. The speaker made a point of that. God also controls evil men. Evil is not outside of his control. What sort of a God would he be if he wasn't in control? A scarier scenario would be a God that couldn't control evil, that just reacted or responded to it. I'll go to Luke 13. Jesus was addressing the collapse of a particular tower, the Tower of Siloam. And the chapter starts out with the Galileans approaching him, wanting answers, because the governor Pilate had done a mass murder of some of these Galileans. So Luke 13, starting in 1, there were present at the season some that told him, Jesus, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye all shall likewise perish. Jesus is making the case that things happen in God's judgment, sure, but sometimes things happen just because of God's sovereignty, and it's the plans that he has laid out. And it's not necessarily because the people that suffered these things were worse sinners than others. We can't assume that the people in Maui were all just worse sinners than people in other areas where this didn't happen. Or let's say the wealthy, the oligarchs that control this world, the Jewish-dominated oligarchs, they seem to be living very posh lives. They seem to be in control. I tell you that God's in control of them too. And I'm going to get into this probably a little bit more after the break. But God has decreed that there will be a final empire on this earth. This is outlined in Daniel chapters 2, Daniel chapter 7, and Daniel chapter 12. This evil empire will culminate in the new Babylon, the rule of the Antichrist. And a couple of the purposes of allowing this time of judgment upon the earth, you can find in Daniel 12, and specifically, I think it's verse 4. I've got it pulled up here. Daniel 12 and 7. Daniel 12, verse 7. When he shall accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people. So this is one of the purposes of this final judgment, this final empire, is to scatter the power of the holy people, but also to punish evildoers. Now, scattering the power of the people set aside would be the unrepentant people of Israel. One of the big purposes of this final empire, this final judgment, is to draw evil out to punish it, but also to break the power of those who are in power now. And that certainly will be accomplished when you're familiar with the scriptures of basically two-thirds of the nation of Israel being wiped out, and only a fourth surviving, and that fourth, one-fourth of the nation repents. Up on the break now, we'll be back on the other side with a little more analysis, and we'll take your calls.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time,
If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Okay, we're coming back to spiritual health and wellness on Inflamed Sight. So the question posed to me is, why does God allow these things he doesn't allow, he ordains? And more specific questions were put to me, like, why did the Bolshevik Revolution happen? Were the Russian Christians being punished for whatever? Look, there could be a lot of that in there. God knows the beginning from the end. He directs it, as the speaker pointed out in the Isaiah passage. But like I said, God is bringing about an evil empire, the final form of rule on this earth, and it started with the Jewish bankers, the Rothschilds and whatnot, in the European wars. They took hold of control, and now it seems like they're bringing about some sort of new climate change thing with smart cities, and they're destroying cities, and that's what we're witnessing. Now, our response to this should be to recognize God's sovereignty and repent. Believe on the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. None of us deserve anything good. It's only through Jesus' act of sacrifice. We put our faith in that we can obtain the blessings of God. But he has directed this final form to bring about his purposes on this earth and to judge this earth. That is the long and short of it. This is the God that I serve. And this is a question not only posed to me this week, but also to other Christians. And unlike other Christians, I'm going to answer you honestly. I'm not making excuses. I'm not apologizing for the Bible. I'm not apologizing for God. He doesn't need me to defend him. He is who he is, and you have to deal with it. And that's the bottom line. Let's go to calls and see what we got here. We got Houston, George in Houston.
Oh, Jeremy, thanks for taking my call. I don't have a problem with the things that were said in the sermon, but I'm not necessarily sure that the verses that he cites lead to all of that. You're taking poetry from the Psalms, the narrative and stories of Job and Jonah, and then you're taking prophecy from Isaiah and kind of reading them all in the same way. When you know the context of some of these things, maybe something different, you know. But one of the narrative facts in Job, I think, is that he really didn't do any particular sin to deserve what he did, and that sometimes suffering is a both undeserved and unexplainable. And that's kind of like that passage in Luke that you were reading. You know, I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, so let's deal with the first thing about taking scriptures out. I understand there's different sections of the Bible, and there's poetry, there's prophecy. There's a lot of prophecy in the poetry. There's a lot of prophecy in the book of Psalms, much of it. And it's really, you can't separate that. The starting passage to really get the context of the whole sermon was Isaiah 46:21, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not done, not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So it's not just knowing the beginning from the end, but he counsels, he directs. And I think that we see that in the book of Job. You know, in Job, you're right, the Bible itself calls Job righteous, and that he even did sacrifices for all of his children and prayed to God for them, just in case they were stepping out of line. This entire thing that happened to Job was because of a conversation between God and Satan. The sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, so the angels, and you're familiar with this passage, but it's mostly for the audience, you know, and Satan came with them giving an account. And just to summarize it, basically Satan says you take everything that he has and he'll curse you. So some people have described this as a bet. I mean, God doesn't bet. Like, he knows the outcome. That's a very elementary, very childish view of God. God was proving himself to Job. This entire thing in the book of Job was for Job's benefit. It wasn't for Satan, and it was also for our benefit to understand that, you know, there was no battle here between God and Satan. There was no struggle. God wasn't like wringing his hand saying, oh no, look what Satan has done now. I guess I better dispatch some angels. No, he told Satan what he could and couldn't do. And I think that is the lens that we should view the whole Bible. And God's sovereignty is that, you know, evil exists because he controls it. He ordains it. He's not the originator of it. Ezekiel 27 says that evil originated in Satan, in the heart of Satan, when he was Lucifer. But he has full control over it, and he ordains it for his purposes.
It makes me think that Job, what you said there, that Job is sort of a type of Christ where he resists the temptation to curse God and die, as his beloved wife tells him. But we're supposed to resist temptation the way that he does, and the way that Jesus did in the three temptations that Christ faced as well. You know, one of the things. Go ahead.
I was just going to make a point on your point there, and it's easy, especially for unbelievers and even believers, to look at this, what we're presenting tonight, and say, I can't do anything about it anyway. Let's just let it happen. No, we as righteous people are ordained to fight back against this evil. If we don't do that, we have not done what we're ordained to do. There is a struggle. God has built struggle. It's in nature. Animals struggle for survival. A lot of this you can attribute to the curse of sin on the earth. But again, that even was ordained by God for that to happen. Struggle is built into the human race. So we are to struggle against this, as you pointed out, not only avoiding temptation, but also fighting back against this evil. The fight could be spiritual. In a lot of cases, it is with Christians. Or the fight could be like what the frontiersmen did 120 years ago when the Indians were raiding their women and children. They took up arms and they stopped it. They restored government and justice, which is what God has ordained men to do, Romans 13.
Right. I mean, he works through means and elements. That's why he's in the wind. It's not just some invisible force that you can't perceive with any of your senses, you know. And that's why, like, if you're the kind of person who carries a gun and a Bible every day, you know, you don't think that the gospel is going to solve all of our problems. I mean, if you do think that, just go ahead and leave the gun at home and seal the testimony of your belief in your own blood, I guess.
The gospel solves spiritual problems, but there are physical threats. And Jesus told the disciples in Luke 21, I believe, or 22, Luke 22, you know, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. Because he was about to go to the cross, and they were going to need to defend themselves.
And Paul is not naive. In Romans 13, he knows why civil government exists. It's because that we all need something a little more immediate to keep us in line, right?
You're not going to hit him with a Bible or quote scripture to the guy robbing you or trying to rape your wife. You know, God's ordained government to protect you. That's its purpose. It's not to own property or to take property from you or to do all of these things that it's been doing. It is to protect you from evil, and evil should fear good government. But again, you know, the man is the governor of his home. And if you don't protect your home, you're worse than an infidel. Provision is more than just food. It's protection. It's physical protection. And there could be a time when your neighborhood militia has to protect the government of your small town. I mean, that could happen, you know, especially in the days coming up.
Yeah.
So,
something that you wish for, but you have to do what you have to when it happens.
And when I say God controls you, he controls these people. Like, look, people point out to me, well, look, the tornado could have been man-made, or the Maui fires were for sure man-made. You know, this was definitely nefarious work. Okay, God controls the men that does that. He could wreck their technology with a solar flare. He could pull the breath that he gives them out of their lungs. You know, he controls them. Just because it's a man-made thing, like a bomb or a weather weapon or a direct energy weapon, he's in no less control of it.
Agreed. Agreed. I appreciate you taking my call, Jeremy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. A lot of great points and questions. Appreciate it, George. Call back.
All right, will do. Bye.
All right, so looks like the call screen's empty if anybody else wants to weigh in on this. Again, this whole thing of questioning God and why does evil exist, this comes from a Greek philosopher named Epicurus. He wrote what's called The Problem of Evil. So he's putting forth, basically saying, well, if God is all powerful, then he can't be good because evil exists. If God is good, then he's not all powerful because he's not able to stop evil. So this is a worldly and unbeliever, obviously, making an observation, trying to figure this out. Later on in the 4th century, Augustine reads these writings, and he sort of knee-jerk reacts to it, and he creates the basics for Calvinism. And it didn't just start with John Calvin post-Reformation. It started really, the whole concept of God controlling evil and ordaining it started with Augustine. Now, I don't agree with everything Augustine wrote, and I definitely don't agree with him knee-jerk reacting to some pagan Greek philosopher. But Augustine did lay some of the groundwork for sort of understanding these things. But like I said, it led to Calvinism. It led to John Calvin's writings and the Council of Dort after that, that responded with the 7 points of Calvinism. So I'm not a Calvinist. I think that they're trying to make sense of God's sovereignty, and they fall short in a lot of ways. Then the opposite of that was the Arminianists, named after Jacob Arminian. And Jacob Arminian had a knee-jerk reaction to Calvin, and he wrote The Points of Arminianism, basically what it says, that God just rolls the dice and just sees what happens. He's not directly in control of everything, and that men have free will to the point that they can even choose whether they get saved or whether they stay saved. They can lose their status as being born again, and that's completely against the scripture. So Arminius really didn't get it right. And speaking of free will, there is a portion of free will that we have. We are all responsible for our decisions. There's some boundaries there that God has given us. Like I was telling George, there is a responsibility that we have, and especially a lot of Christians, some of the more cold, hardcore Calvinists, would just sit back and, you know, meet at their church and not ever do anything to interact with their communities. With this is a completely wrong response. The response is always that God has ordained you, whether you're a believer or not, there are right things that you must do. There are right decisions that you must make. and he's ordained you to do the right thing and to make the right choice. So that's part of your responsibility and my responsibility. You know, as a human, that's why I get on and do these radio shows. It is to scratch an itch. I have all this stuff in my head, and I take in a lot of content, especially since the Trump campaign in 2015, when I learned about Jewish power, started putting all of these things together. I always knew that there was a small portion of elites that were running things. I just never knew how to name them. And so I started doing these, calling into these shows and getting on with Patrick, and then I got my own show on RBN. But it's to speak out on these things. It's to try to help people make sense of these things, including myself. And then once I was well established here at RBN, I took this Wednesday night slot to do this spiritual health and wellness ministry. This happened after the election steal of 2020. And so in 2021, I started this as sort of a ministry because I was fed up with it all. I was fed up with politics. I was fed up with Trump and his failures and how he held the levers of power, but he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything to stop it. He didn't do anything to support his people. And then even worse than all of that, he supported the deadly vax, the deadly clot shot. And for that, I can never forgive him, even if he went back on it all right now. But Jeremy, you're a Christian. You're supposed to forgive. Okay, there's different types of forgivenesses. And when a person just, these elites that hold power, I mean, a lot of them are depraved and reprobates. You know, forgiveness is for my neighbor that wronged me. And instead of going all out and taking him to court, maybe I just, you know, call it a loss. You know, he comes to me and he's like, man, I was wrong. And I'll be like, you know what? It's all good. That's the kind of forgiveness that we're called to do. These people that work wickedness, we got to stand against them. Their fate is in God's hand. And that's the thing about understanding the sovereignty of God. When I let go of that, my perceived control over things, and I'm like, you know what? There's nothing I can do to Soros or any of these Jewish elites like Newland. There's nothing I can do about the war in Ukraine and all of the carnage and the bloodshed. That's way above my pay grade. Okay, I can only affect my neighborhood, the people in my life, and the people here. And I say I can affect the people hearing my voice. I can't necessarily, you know, affect you as well as I could in person. But being able to get on here and speak and being able to let you get on here and speak, that's within my realm of control too as a show host. So these are the things that I worry about. And I can do what I'm ordained to do, which is speak truth to you people from the Bible, to try to give an accurate political analysis, to try to research things. When people send me things like evidence of this Maui fire and the different fires in Canada, you know, I can't just slough that off and say, well, that sounds kooky. You know what? Nothing sounds kooky today. Any of these things are not only possible, but there's huge amounts of evidence that they're happening right before our very eyes. So part of what I'm ordained to do is to speak the truth. And the truth is more than just sharing with you from the Bible, even though that is the truth. The truth is researching and trying to give the best analysis as possible. So I'm a flawed man. I have been known to drink a little too much. I'm working on that, doing some non-drinking days. The Lord's helped me with that. And I don't always get it right. I'll try to own up to it when I don't. But overall, I hope that it's been, you know, a good experience. I hope that I have more people that enjoy the show and that get something out of it, rather than people that just turn it off or they say, oh, Jeremy's going to preach to us on Wednesday. We're going to turn this off and go do something else. Hopefully you're not doing that. But we're coming up rapidly on the break. Mike, give me a clue. I've totally lost track of time. I got off into that rant. But that is the main takeaway, is that God is in control of these things. And you are ordained for your purpose in life to where God has put you. Back on the other side.
The wind blows hard against this mountainside. Across the sea into my soul. It reaches into where I cannot hide.
you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Okay, we're back with the final segment of In Plain Sight. I just Googled death toll from Maui. You got 106 or some, 110. New York Times says the search for Maui fire victims is slow and grim, with deaths expected to rise. We're not going to get any kind of truth from the mainstream media. I was just sort of seeing what was out there. But to respond, where was God and Jesus at when these people were being burnt to a crisp? Well, I think the entire show tonight, as well as the sermon clip, answered the question. God ordained it. Let me finish up with Job chapter 40. This is after Job went through all of his troubles and he's questioning the Lord. He never cursed him, but he questioned him. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it." Basically, are you as a mortal man going to instruct the Almighty Creator? And then, of course, Job responds in humility. And God continues answering, verse 7 of chapter 40, "Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him?" So if you got a problem with God's sovereignty, just to sort of analyze the few verses there and finish up with that, are you going to instruct the one that created matter? Are you going to correct his judgments? Are you going to question? I mean, questioning him is fine, but are you going to take it upon yourself to say, who do you think you are, God, for bringing this down on me? We got one more caller just popped in the screen. Got just a minute or two. Wayne in Mississippi. Wayne, welcome.
Jeremy, I heard you talking about forgiveness. Let me ask you a quick question. Does forgiveness mean relationship? In other words, can you forgive someone but then take them out of your life? Is that true? Can you still forgive them and walk away?
Well, yeah, the Bible does say to stay away from people in the church that claim to be believers, but they're in certain sexual sins. Always you have to remove people from your life that are detriment to you. But holding hatred to them. So if you remove them from your life, but you just continue to hate them and harp on them, you just hurt yourself.
Oh, agree. And this involves a relative of mine. I, in my heart, truly forgive her, but I do not want an ongoing relationship with her. I mean, so am I truly forgiving her?
Well, yeah, because God, you know, Paul commands also in the New Testament not to be unequally yoked. And so if the person is a believer, they should be coming to you and making things right. But if they're displaying the activities of an unbeliever, cut them off. Forgive them and cut them off. And I don't know your specific situation, but that would just be the general answer. You can't let people do detriment to you.
Okay, good deal. Thanks, Jeremy. Thank you.
Great question. Thanks a lot, Wayne. Appreciate you guys. Y'all stay classy. Tune in tomorrow night for the William and Jeremy Show.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.